Blog Talk Radio.
It's NFL Week 10 action. Welcome to The Point Fantasy Football Show. It is November 15th, 2015. NFL is just rolling through. I mean, we're reaching the playoffs for the real football, and we're getting close to playoffs for fantasy football as well. So really getting down to crunch time. Really thank you guys for joining us. A lot of good things for you today. We got a strong 60 minutes. So we're going to try to keep this 60 minutes. But we want to answer all of your football questions, your fantasy lineup conundrums. We're going to take care of it this morning, and we're going to have you ready to go. So I am Brandon Robertson, joined by Taha Rahman. I think you can kind of hear him on the other line. it's the original crew today, so we're getting it going. Taha, what's going on,
Brandon,
man?
Brandon, what you hear is me tweeting, baby. I'm like Adam Scheffler, always tweeting away questions and stuff. That's what you hear, folks. It's real stuff going down over here. I've been super busy. People blowing up Twitter. People trying to start stupid people, and I'm having a conversation right now.
Kyle over there, like Adam Schefter. He's got a cell phone in each hand. He's got his laptop in front of him, his iPad behind him. I mean, he's ready to go this morning. I mean, clearly. Look, it's a fantasy football show. We talk about fantasy football, but I got to start off the show talking about what happened last night. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the upset in Down Under, Ronda Rousey of the UFC, she got knocked out. I was completely shocked and taken off guard. Ronda Rousey, she got beat, man. Did you see that or hear about it?
Yeah, no, I didn't see the fight, but I did hear about it. It is a big shocker because this lady's been knocking out people on an average of 30 seconds. But she did say before this match that this was going to be our hardest competition. But now she can shut the fuck up about fighting Roy Floyd Mayweather Jr. Look, I love Ronda Rousey, okay? I love Ronda Rousey. Don't get that twisted, folks. But she needs to shut her goddamn mouth. She would get killed if she fought Mayweather. Okay, that Twitter beef. And some people actually believe she had a shot. She couldn't even beat this girl. That's like 120 pounds. How are you going to take on Floyd? But that's another story for another day.
No, you're right.
I hope that just squashed all of the Floyd BS. Okay, I mean, that to me was just outrageous. I mean, she truly believed it, and she had every woman in this planet believing that Floyd is a bitch. Like, he was not going to be able to fight. Do you know what I'm talking about, Brandon? Like, she had everybody believing Floyd Mayweather is not one of the greatest boxers of all time. I don't know. That's just my thing. I don't know.
Look, I've been watching boxing for a long time. And at no point did I ever think Ronda Rousey, Chuck Liddell, or anybody else from the UFC could be Floyd Mayweather. I am not buying that shit. I know it makes for good conversation. It's all fun and games until somebody loses an eye. So there's no way in the world I'm thinking Ronda's going to whoop Floyd. But look, the girl that she lost to, her background is boxing. This lady, Holly Holm or whatever, used to be a boxer.
Yeah, Holly Holm.
So, I mean, come on, man. I mean, it's just, look, I'm shocked. The girl had a really good game plan. She executed very well. I will say, usually UFC, I watch a big match, you know, but I don't watch a lot of the small ones. They do so many of them. But I saw the weigh-ins for Ronda and Holly. And when Ronda did the weigh-in, she looked real frail, real skinny. Like, she lost a lot of muscle definition. She just didn't look like fight ready, in my opinion. And, you know, Ronda's been blowing up. She's doing commercials. She's getting all these endorsements. She's doing movies. And for a split second, I looked at her like, she doesn't really look fight ready. But I'm like, I don't know Holly Holm, so it'll probably be an easy fight. And lo and behold, she looks bad. I mean, it just didn't look like her. So reality check, she lost. I'm pretty sure she'll get it back together, and they'll probably make a shit ton of money on the rematch. But
now,
I'm
Brandon,
sorry,
I will
start off with that.
No, I'm glad you started off with that because, you know, I watch sports 24/7. Like, my house, it's like basketball, football, you know. And I watched the weigh-in, and I thought the same exact thing. I was like, damn, Ronda lost some weight. I don't know if her boyfriend called her fat or what happened, but Ronda, she was fine when she was, you know, a little bigger, like fight ready, but she's lost some weight. I don't know if it was a movie role when they're like, hey, Ronda, we need a little trim off a little bit, about 5 to 10 pounds. But, you know, 5 to 10 pounds makes a whole bunch of difference when it comes to fighting and boxing. So, yeah, Ronda did not look Ronda-esque. Let's just say that.
No, absolutely. Yeah, not even close. Not even close. So, obviously, that was a bit of a concern. So, anyway, so NFL Week 10, like I said, a lot of football action for you. We will update you on some injuries. We're going to touch on a couple of kind of trending topics around the league. And then we're going to go into our grab a clipboard segment, you know, our starting versus sit-em. Got some really good players lined up. We even got a tight end in there this week, so that'll be interesting. We got our It's Hot Here segment, the Smoke or Fire. We're going to go into Twitter talk, a lot of Twitter questions out there. We have our Fast Five. We'll give an update on how the rankings look. And then we're going to end it off with bold predictions and special delivery like we always do. So notable injuries going off NFL Week 10. So we start with the Chicago Bears, right? So two big names on the injury report, running back Matt Forte dealing with MCL injury, and then wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey. So good news, bad news. Bad news, Matt Forte, he's not expected to play today. Good news, Alshon Jeffrey is expected to play today. Looks like he's going to go. Quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger, he is expected to sit today. Landry Jones going to take the snaps, and he'll be at the helm. Let's see. Tight end for Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Austin Seferian Jenkins. Looks like he's going to be out again today versus Dallas. And I think one of the most I don't want to say controversial because injuries are injuries, but the one that really shocked me, running back for the Seattle Seahawks, Marshawn Lynch, who's dealing with an abdomen issue. They keep saying he's 50-50 for Sunday Night Football. Now, that puts you in a really kind of, I don't want to say unique spot because it's Sunday night. So if he plays and you pick up Thomas Rawls to start, then you're kind of screwed unless you got, you know, one of the guys going Monday night with the Bengals and the Texans. You know, but if Marshawn Lynch, if he can't go, which, I mean, it's very concerning that they still haven't said if he can, then, you know, Thomas Rawls, I mean, he's going to get the nod. Now, either way, whether it's Lynch or Rawls, Arizona Cardinals is a legit defense. I mean, so that's in my opinion, that's a bad matchup. I mean, either way. But, yeah, that's going to be really interesting to see if Marshawn Lynch is going to go. He's 50-50. Also, wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, Calvin Johnson, dealing with an ankle injury. But he is expected to suit up. He keeps saying that he's going to go. And another 50-50 player, wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, Emmanuel Sanders, has a really, really sore ankle. You know, so we'll see if he gets going. I know Peyton Manning is trying to chase greatness. He's trying to become the all-time passing leader in the NFL, so he needs all hands on deck for that. But that's our quick injury overall. Ramen, any shots or comments on the injury?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little worried about Alshon Jeffries. I mean, we kind of figured that Matt Forte was going to be out 2 weeks at least. I mean, that's what they said. This was the injury that held him out for about 4 to 6, if I'm not mistaken, like 3 years ago when it happened to him. He said this time it wasn't as bad, so he's coming back. I know that a lot of people that picked up Jeremy Langford and that guy blew up the spot, you know what I'm saying? Wanted Forte to be out one more week, you know, if you're struggling for that guy. to do something. So that one, and then what's the word on Eddie Lacy? Because the one name that I'm hearing all over Twitter is James Starks. James Starks. That is what I am hearing all over Twitter. So what's the word on Eddie Lacy?
Well, I mean, with Lacy, I don't want to say the latest because it was earlier in the week when I heard it, but I don't think the injury is the worst of Lacy's problems. I think the problem is that James Starks has outplayed him. He looks better than him. He looks faster. And McCarthy, the head coach, came out and said James Starks has earned the right to start at running back. And so I think that James Starks, I think that's Eddie Lacy's problem. I don't think it's injury. I just think, you know, Starks has outplayed him, and Starks is a very capable back. He's a good running back, but, you know, he's kind of been in that shadow of Lacy, and every time they've asked him to step in, you know, he's done a decent or above-average job. And I don't know, man. Lacy, if you're a Lacy owner, he lost you points last week. Now, sit there and think about that for a second. We're talking about a top 10 pick in fantasy that actually lost you points. That just doesn't happen. You know, they can have a bad game. You know, maybe they get you less than double digits. You know, maybe just something freaky happens. But to get you negative one, I mean, that's like, I'd mention him just because of that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just me. But I think Starks is a real deal. I think he's a real deal. So I don't think it's just the injury on Lacy. I just think James has outplayed him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the same boat as that. I think, like, let me tell you this way. If you gave me one player, if I had both of those guys on my team, I'm still starting Starks. Because I've been looking at the injury report. He's limited in practice, you know. But with all that said, I think I'm starting James Starks because James Starks has earned the position. I mean, I don't think that guy's lying at all. So I think James is the big key. And then I think with Emmanuel Sanders, I don't know. That's a risky play, man. I have Emmanuel Sanders in a lot of stuff. I'm going to be watching that until game time. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders, that one's a little – that can hurt. You know what I'm saying? That's a pretty big name. So I know a lot of people expecting Emmanuel to go off this week.
Yeah. No, I agree. Emmanuel Sanders is one of those players. I mean, he's really good. He's been very productive. He's been just good for that offense. When he came over from Pittsburgh, I thought it was a good compliment to what they had. But, I mean, and to be honest, I mean, he surpassed, you know, expectations. And he just played well, man. He's consistent. I mean, that's kind of Peyton's, well, one of his favorite weapons on that team. And, you know, last week, Demaryius Thomas probably had one of his worst performances in a long time, man. He just really, really struggled. Couldn't get it going. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. Another injury I left off the sheet. Wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Allen Hurns. He's testing his foot out in warm ups, but he is questionable for today. Now, a thing to keep in mind: Marquise Lee, a talented wide receiver that graduated from USC, he is playing today for Jacksonville, or is expected to play today. So, you know, I know it's his first game back. You know, could he take away from what Hurns has been doing? Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, they've been two of the most productive wide receivers in the NFL. You know, so not sure if you guys know this, but they probably put up more 100-yard games as a duo than anybody else. So they've quietly been really, really productive. I know they're not really big names, but they've been, you know, making it happen. So, you know, Marquise Lee, I don't know if it adds to this passing attack. Does it take away? I don't know. They got some young things in place there. They just got to figure out a way to put it together. All right. Okay, so let's see. So we'll keep updating you guys on injuries, you know, as they come in. You know, we're following Twitter as well. And we'll let you know what's kind of going on. But like I said, that Marshawn Lynch injury, that's going to be very interesting. So definitely want to keep an eye on that one. All right. So, you know, today, you know, obviously with the tragedy that's happened in Paris and some of the different things going on, I know the NFL has asked all the teams to, like, have, like, a moment of silence for the victims that were affected in the terrible situation going on in Paris. And I want to say it's going to be like a 4 to 5 minute delay on all the kickoffs. So that's going to be going on. And it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. And, you know, the NFL has issued statements and their thoughts and condolences. And I'm pretty sure, you know, that's going to be highly televised throughout the day. So that is going to be highly televised. All right, now. So we go into one of our first segments that we just basically our version of Stardom versus Stidham. You know, so we look at the players, we kind of look at their matchups, we look at their performances, their trends, and we just basically give, you know, our opinion on, you know, if you should Stardom versus Stidham. You know, so I kind of thought about the Twitter questions that we get throughout the week and Twitter questions we get for, like, Thursday and things like that. And, you know, one of the questions that I got, you know, someone asked me about, you know, Sammy Watkins. I got asked about Charles Clay. Who else was asked about in that game? I think those were the main two, right? So, for me, my suggestion was, hey, you know, I know Sammy Watkins blew up the spot last week, you know, but I'm not expecting it on a Thursday. You know, I don't like him going against Revis. And, you know, I don't think he's going to have a big game. I said I did like Charles Clay because Charles Clay came off of a stinker, and the Jets are good against the run. And I figured he would have some lanes from a tight end standpoint because that's kind of the weakness on that team. And so, obviously, that was true, you know. And I get that, you know, the guy, whoever Watkins, it is what it is. Now, I respect the fact that, you know, the guy made a decision, you know, he got some input and he stuck with it. You know, he didn't bitch about it. He didn't, you know, freak out. It is what it is, you know. But like I said, with fantasy advice, you got to go with your gut, man. You got to go with your gut. You get as much information as you can. You know, when we're wrong on this show, we highlight it. When we're right, we try to highlight it as well, you know. So we try to give as much analysis as we can. So keep sending your questions on Twitter. You can use hashtag to the point two. And, Tyler, I know you get, like, a lot of questions on Twitter as well, man, throughout the week.
Yeah. Yeah, I get a lot of questions on Twitter, and, you know, sometimes it's very hard. And then, like, sometimes I say it's a coin flip, and then one person just outperforms. I mean, last week I probably got 8 questions about Dez Bryant. You know, and there were other players were pretty good, and I said not to play Dez because he needed to show you, and it was Matt Castle, and then Dez did what Dez does. You know what I'm saying? But the smart play was not to play Dez. You know, you got to go with, in fantasy, every little point counts. Like, if Dez gave you another 2-point outing, it kills your team. So even if you can get 11 to 12, it's good from another wide receiver. And the funny thing is, the suggestions I make are the suggestions I play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm giving you from looking at insides. And, you know, for the most part, you know, the people that have been listening into the show for 3 years and the people that consistently ask us questions, they go with what they, you know, what we say, and they don't get too upset because they know we've been right more than we've been wrong.
Yeah. No, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I was the other one I forgot about, LeSean McCoy. You know, I was right on that one. You know, Shady, if he could stay healthy, then, I mean, he's just a force to be reckoned with. You know, but I got a lot of questions before the game about Carlos Williams. And I know Carlos found the end zone. You know, so, yeah, six points would be. But, I mean, that was pretty much it. But, you know, I felt like in this game, yeah, McCoy's going to be the workhorse. I mean, if the guy says he can play, he can play. You know, they said last week that he could have came back into the game, you know, if it was needed, but they were already, you know, kind of pretty much up, you know, so they leaned on Carlos Williams. But, you know, Shady McCoy stayed consistent all week saying, hey, look, I'm playing. I'll be ready Thursday. I'll be good to go. And he goes off for almost 160 yards from scrimmage, you know. So, you know, McCoy is, I just thought he was a good play, but I got a lot of questions about Carlos Williams. I'm like, no, don't play that guy. This week is not going to be his week. I mean, he may get some mop-up stuff, but, you got shady. So, but, yeah, the questions, the lineups, it's always interesting. It makes for a funny conversation. And I know people hate it when we give different answers, but, look, man, we're individuals. This show is not scripted. We give our opinion. I mean, it's to the point, two different points of view. I mean, that's the whole point of the show. So, we give our answers. I mean, that's just how it works, right? So, all right. So we're going to go into our startup sit-em segment, and our first player is going to be a wide receiver with the Green Bay Packers. We have Devontae Adams, talented young guy. He was really set up, or in my opinion, set up to step up big with the absence of Jordy Nelson. And for the most part, not so much, right? So we have the talented Green Bay wide receiver going against the Detroit Lions defense. And so we're going to start off with Taha. Do you think we should start Devontae this week, or should we sit?
See, I think there's a defense out there called the Tampa 2. And that's usually the safety plays, zone over the top, right, the cover over the top. And in the beginning of the year, Aaron Rodgers, we would all say, is a great quarterback, probably one of the best ever, right? He takes what the defense gives him. And what the defense in the beginning of the year was giving him was James Jones one-on-one, okay? They weren't taking the safety over the top to help cover James. He was just one-on-one. And Aaron Rodgers, doesn't matter who's one-on-one, he's going to throw that ball. Well, after James Jones started off with 6 touchdowns in like the first 5 weeks, people said that is coming to an end. And with James Jones, if you look at his targets per game, his touchdowns been down, his yardage wasn't really up. You know what I'm saying? So just look at the targets. They've been down as well. Devontae Adams is more of a threat now because of all of that going on. I think Devontae can run more in a route tree than James Jones can. James Jones is your waggle guy. He's your, street guy. But he's not going to give you 14 different routes. And I think Devontae Adams is a guy that I like a lot. And I would say if you can get Devontae Adams on a team, I would. I think the Devontae Adams we expected, all year, is finally here. And then, by the way, breaking news, James Starks will start at the running back position versus Detroit. I just saw that.
Oh.
They just announced it. That just
there
answered the questions for everybody.
There it is. I told you. Hey, man, Lacey better tighten up. I mean, I think me and Aaron talked about it a little bit on Wednesday. I mean, physically, he's a little fat dude. I mean, he's gaining more and more weight, and he looks slow. And, I mean, he just, I don't know, man. I know when they made mentions of his weight, he says he goes up and down, and, he's fine, and I know he's a little sensitive out there, but, like, dude, you're a professional athlete, man. Get that shit under control. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You're paid to be in shape. I mean, there's no excuse. So, yeah, but anyway,
So I would say start Devontae Adams. I just think he has a lot of value.
I agree. I think he's starting because he's coming off an 11 target game of last week. I mean, he was targeted 11 times. He got 7 of them. Finally found the end zone, and I'm sorry, 2-point conversion, but there's still the end zone. But he almost had 100 yards receiving. So I think the young guy. He really struggled and just gave you nothing first couple of weeks, and I can see that second half being big. And then also, Aaron Rodgers has been criticized a lot in the media for his last 2 performances, and I think he is pissed. This is a division opponent. It's the Detroit Lions. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to lead all quarterbacks in fantasy scoring. I think he's going to ball out today. So I'm putting Devontae Adams in my lineup. I started. All right. All right, so we shift gears from wide receiver, and we go into the running back territory, and we have running back with the Jacksonville Jaguars, T.J. Yeldon. And so, you know, T.J. Is out of Alabama. You know, he's the rookie running back Jacksonville picked up. And, I mean, I liked him in college. Did not know what to expect, you know, coming into the pros. We'll definitely be honest. Didn't like the fact that he was going to Jacksonville. I just kind of felt like, maybe his talent could go there and die. But, I think from an expectation standpoint, he's been decent, right? I mean, you know, he's had a couple hundred-yard games. You know, he gets the lion's share of the carries there. He at least found the end zone once. I'd like a little bit more touchdowns. But from a rookie standpoint, outside of Gurley, that's just not really happening a lot with these rookie running backs. But I think T.J. Yeldon's been pretty solid. You know, he wasn't expected to do much. And I think if he got him, you know, he was a good, you know, decent find or whatever. So I'll start off with my expectations of Yeldon. You know, so Jacksonville is going against Baltimore Ravens today. And, you know, clearly in my opinion, with Terrell Suggs being out, you know, Baltimore is just not the same defense. They're not as scary as they used to be. You know, if we had a running back facing Baltimore coming into the week, we'd basically be like, you might want to bench that guy. I don't have any high expectations for him. But, you know, when you look at Baltimore, the running back that they faced, I mean, they faced C.J. Anderson and Hillman early, and they basically sucked, all right? So they gave you nothing. They went against Latavius Murray, and Murray, yeah, he beat him up a little bit. He found the end zone, almost scored 20 fantasy points on him. Giovanni Bernard did a little bit against him, not really damaged him, but just a little bit. And Le'Veon Bell smashed him, all right? So, I mean, overall, I mean, running backs they face, I mean, they haven't faced, like top running backs, you know, so they've been somewhat decent in the run game. So I think Yeldon can have a big day today. So I like T.J. Yeldon. I'm actually going to give him a helmet. Taha, what about you?
Yeah, I like T.J. Yeldon. He hasn't blown up the spot like you were talking about, Brandon, because he hadn't had one of those days where he's had a lot of touchdowns, or for a better effect. But let's look at this. You talked about earlier, you know, the two Allens over there in Jacksonville have been tearing things up, right? You get a lot of yards from your receivers. You don't get that many yards from your running back. That's just kind of how it works, you know? Allen Hurn has had a touchdown the last six games. That is just bonkers for me, right? But T.J. Yeldon's been solid 15 points in a PPR league for the last 3 weeks. And I just think, you know, 15 points from your running back, I'll take that. I mean, Eddie Lacy, like you said, has been giving you minus one, 2 points, 3 points. So I think T.J. Yeldon, you have to start him. And let's see if he can find the end zone this week. If he does, then he's a 20-point running back. And then we're talking about him on Top Dogs on Wednesday. So I think you give T.J. Yeldon a helmet this week.
All right, so we got two helmets for Yeldon. We got two helmets for Adams. So far, we're liking what we're seeing, people, liking what we're seeing. All right, so moving on. We're going to stay with the running backs. So we go to running back in Arizona. We got C.J. 2K. Oh, man, sorry, C.J. C.J. 2K. I swear I was not trying to throw a jab at Chris Johnson, okay? I have no issue with that guy. He looks like he would murder me, so I don't want no problems with Chris Johnson. C.J. 2K, Arizona Cardinals running back. We got Arizona going against the Seattle Seahawks. They are the top defense versus the running back in fantasy. Ty, we're going to start off with you. What do you think about Chris today? Helmet or clipboard?
He's going versus Seattle, and we've talked about it over and over again. This is not your Seattle of old, folks. I mean, let's just be real about it. They're not, you know. I mean, the Bengals exploded them on the air. You know, you can run on them. I think CJ, they're going to try to establish the run. I think it's going to be a good game, Brandon. And go ahead, CJ. I'm giving you – I don't like to give this many helmets out, Brandon, but I'm giving CJ a helmet today. So I'm giving him a helmet because I just feel – that the Seattle Seahawks are not the Seattle Seahawks of old. And if Marshawn is out, what happens is Arizona's going to have a lead. And if they have a lead, they're going to just run the clock out because they're a smart team and that's what they're going to do. CJ2K, I'm giving them helmet.
All right. Well, I mean, you're right with them not being a team of old. I just think this is going to be an ugly scoring division game. I think it's going to be low scoring. And I don't know. I don't care for those types of games from a fantasy standpoint. I mean, it's great as a football fan if you're an old school one, but from fantasy, I just don't see a lot of firepower in here. But, I mean, it'll either be one of those scores where it's 13-12 or it's 27-35. So the wheels fall off. But I'm going to take the first one. I'm going to take the under. So I'm going to give Chris a helmet today. I just don't like that game. I just think it's going to be ugly, ugly, ugly. All right. So our next player on the list, we're going to the tight end. Going to the tight end position, newly acquired acquisition, Vernon Davis for the Denver Broncos. Man, I mean, this was a surprising pick. You know, I know San Francisco has had some issues acquisition-wise, and, you know, they want to change some things up. But I did not think they would give away a player like Davis in the middle of the season. You know, Vernon Davis is, the guy's a freak. I mean, physically, he's amazing. So, but he finds a home in Denver. This is his second week with the team, and they are going against the Kansas City Chiefs today. Peyton trying to break the record. Davis getting settled in. Now, Kansas City is they're the number one team versus the tight end in fantasy. You know, so Davis has his work cut out for him today. So we're going to start off with do we give Vernon a clipboard or a helmet?
See, with Davis, I like him, but he just has to show it before I can start him. Like, I picked him up on a couple of teams. He had one target last week and he missed that catch, you know, but I just think that play, it's not that I don't think Vernon Davis can't do it. I just think there's a lot more in the playbooks than it is for a regular team because there's a lot of audibles. Obviously everyone knows Peyton Manning with Omaha and all of that stuff. And what I don't think the coaches want to affect how Peyton does his thing. So I just don't think until he shows me that he can do it, I'm not starting him. So I'm going to give him a clipboard. But once he does, then I know that he knows the playbook and then I'm riding him the rest of the year.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go ahead and give him a clipboard. I agree as well. We got to give Vernon a clipboard, man. I mean, we need to see him do it first. New team, new setup, and I just like to see him be productive and then figure out a way to get him involved in the offense. Also, I just have a crazy feeling that Denver's going to run the ball today really, really well. I just think it's going to be a rushing performance that's going to shock everybody. So I just think they're going to lean on the run versus the pass. So I'm giving him a clipboard as well. Next player, wide receiver we talked about a little earlier in the show, kind of banged up. Wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Allen Hurns. Jacksonville, you know, getting going today. And, you know, we just kind of talked about Hurns. We know Jacksonville is going against Baltimore. Now, Baltimore, you know, they're kind of middle of the road or middle of the pack with the run, but they are the second worst team fantasy-wise versus the wide receiver position. They're actually right behind Kansas City, who has just been atrocious. So, Baltimore, Allen Hurns, what do we think, Ty? Are we giving him a helmet or a clipboard?
Allen Hurns. He's banged up, folks, okay? Even when he's hurt and he has a 50-50 chance to play, I say give him a helmet because this guy's had 6 or 5 touchdowns the last 5 weeks, a touchdown every week. This guy is legit. He is the true wide receiver over there in Jacksonville, and it's not Allen Robinson. Everyone knows I hate Allen Robinson. Allen, it burns when I pee, is pretty damn good. So please start Allen Hurns I like that guy. I just hope he plays. I mean, obviously, watch the injury report. If he's not playing, don't start him. But if he's playing, I think he's going to be solid. So I like Allen Hurns.
Yeah, I mean, his last six games, he's got a touchdown in every one of them, which is amazing. Six games, six touchdowns. I mean, he's 7 to 8 targets a week. The guy has been extremely productive. You know, we just talked about how Allen, the law firm in Jacksonville, they've been very productive as a wide receiver tandem. So I'm giving him a helmet as well, man. I'm giving him a helmet. I just think Baltimore is just not as good of a team as they've been in the past. So I like Allen Hurns today. So we're giving him a helmet. Two helmets for old Hurns. And what'd you call him? Allen, it hurts when I pee, Robinson. That's just disgusting.
It burns when I pee.
Leave it up to Ty to ruin your breakfast on a Sunday morning. But he hates Allen Robinson, though. He doesn't want to admit he hates that guy. He's not a fan of Allen Robinson. That's funny. Nope. I like that one. All right. Our next player, going back to the running back position, running back with the Green Bay Packers, James Starks. And we just announced that he's going to start today. So, Ty, how do we feel about his debut? We give him a helmet or a clipboard?
So, you know, we just announced that he will start today. And then I got some more good news for James Starks. He's going versus Detroit, who's just been terrible in every aspect of football. So guess what? That means here's a helmet, James Starks. Enjoy the day because you're going to be freaking massive in fantasy. So I'm giving him a helmet.
Yeah, it's always hard to, you know, when we do these and just hand out a bunch of helmets. But it is what it is, man. You got to look at the matchups. You got to look at the potential for fantasy production. And like I said, James Starks has just looked better than Lacy. He has looked better, and he's handled himself better. Now, I did state that I believe it's going to be a high-volume passing day. I think Aaron Rodgers is just going to be just making it rain out there. So maybe, you know, James Starks doesn't rush for 100 yards, but James Starks, he has really good hands. He can receive as well. He can catch a couple of balls out the backfield and make you pay. You know, so do not be surprised if James Starks doesn't get it going like that. But I'm going to give him a helmet as well, and hopefully he doesn't go bananas because I think I'm playing him this week. So I got to factor that in as well. Can't overlook that. So, all right. So let's see. We went through Devontae Adams, T.J. Yeldon, Chris Johnson, Vernon Davis, Allen Hurns, James Starks. So really, it's good. Really, in my opinion, a good group of players. You know, some on the upswing, some have been productive. Some we just have a big question mark about. But for the most part, I mean, I think they're a good group, pretty good group. So, I mean, Robin, obviously, it looks like you picked. You know, we had two Packers, two Jaguars. So, this looks like we got a lot of questions about those teams, right?
Yeah. And I think people in fantasy, they're going on matchups. I mean, you know, these players that we get, like, I don't make these players up. I'm picking them off Twitter, you know, the people that I see constantly. And I think the juicy matchup versus Baltimore and the juicy matchup versus Detroit, a lot of people have questions about maybe benching players that might have tougher matchups to go with these guys. And I think, you know, that's the smart thing to do, right? That's what makes you a champion in your fantasy league when you can make the tough decisions of starting a James Starks over like a CJ Anderson. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So I think people are asking good questions. So I think that's why people are just, you know, going with versus the matchups, which is what we talk about on the show 24/7.
Very true. All right, so we have our segment, Smoke or Fire. This is a segment that, you know, basically try to take a player's performance. Someone has blew up the spot, put up a really big fantasy day, and we try to dissect it and decide if they're going to be smoke, meaning they're just a flash in the pan, they're not really, you know, is going to sustain that performance, or they're going to be fired. That means long-term, this person's going to be successful. We think they're for real. You should put them in your lineup. And so the guy we had this week, I mean, I had to apologize to him last week because, I don't know, I just thought that, you know, everyone just kind of, not discredited, but they forgot how good Le'Veon Bell is, you know, and it's just like, Le'Veon Bell is amazing. He's probably one of the top running backs in the league, if not the best one. And him to go down for the year is like, that's huge. But running back D'Angelo Williams, he stepped in once again and just blew up the spot. So Todd, listen to these numbers. D'Angelo Williams had 27 rushing attempts, 170 rushing yards, two touchdowns, and a two-point conversion. So this is the second time this year that he's put up more than 30 fantasy points in a week. And, I mean, he's only started maybe, what, four games or three games?
Yeah, three games.
And he's scored, yeah, three games, and he scored over 30 fantasy points twice. So I apologize, D'Angelo. I said it before. I will say it again. You know, I believe that D'Angelo Williams, he's fire. I mean, he's the guy, okay? Todd, what are your thoughts on it?
D'Angelo is fire. D'Angelo is fire beyond belief, okay? This guy is, he is the definition of fire, okay? This guy, whenever he gets this opportunity, he just does what he can. So, you know what, D'Angelo, you are fire. There's nothing else to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been good, man. He's really been good. And I want to say that the absence of Big Ben, I don't necessarily believe it's going to hurt him now. You know, that was one of my concerns when Roethlisberger went down and he was stepping in. Like, okay, well, now he has a backup quarterback. So, you know, there's going to be some issues. But I still think Pittsburgh is dangerous, even with, you know, the backup Landry Jones in there. So, you know, D'Angelo Williams, I mean, I think the guy's for real, man. I think he's fire. And, you know, and for a split second, I heard Todd cough, so I thought he was going to say smoke and completely start a Twitter rant from everyone because D'Angelo Williams is right now he's very beloved. I mean, everyone's behind this guy. And then I think I'm playing Starks and D'Angelo Williams. So, shit, I got to pick both of these guys. So, hopefully they don't they don't cream me, but, yeah, D'Angelo Williams, man, he's just been really, really good. Now, I want to kind of change gears. Now, let's talk about Pittsburgh, you know, because Pittsburgh, they have a lot of fantasy-relevant players on their team. They got Martavis Bryant, Antonio Brown, D'Angelo Williams, you know, Big Ben Roethlisberger, Heath Miller, so just a lot of weapons, you know, and I think you own Roethlisberger in one of your fantasy leagues, right? So, right now, with Roethlisberger being out, you know, let's really talk about, you know, that offense and the receiving corps in particular. You know, we had a really interesting discussion and debate about Antonio Brown, right? So what's your thoughts on the backup quarterback in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, the backup quarterback situation, if it was Michael Vick, I'd be a little more scared. But think about it. Landry Jones came into the game and threw a 60-yard bomb to Antonio Brown. You know, he's not Ben Roethlisberger, and I don't think Ben's going to be out for that long. Do you know, I mean, he was really trying to play this week versus Cleveland. I think since it was Cleveland and it's not, like, you know, anybody else, I think that's why they're kind of being cautious with Big Ben. But I think Big Ben's going to be back for the playoff push. That's where it's most important. But I think Antonio Brown still has value. Landry Jones knows, unlike Vic, you have to throw the ball to Big Ben. I mean, you have to throw the ball to Antonio Brown. Because if you think about it, before Big Ben came back, Antonio Brown had a 19-point day in a PPR where he didn't have a touchdown. So Antonio still has value with Landry Jones there, I think. Now, Martavis Bryant, he blew up the spot with Landry Jones, you know? So I don't. It's a step down, but I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be okay. Let's just say that. I think they'll be okay. They're not going to blow up a 40 spot, but I think they'll be okay. in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Martavis Bryant has caught all of Landry Jones' touchdown passes. So, I believe Landry Jones has thrown 3 touchdown passes, and Martavis Bryant caught all of them. So, yeah, so clearly he favors the young guy a little bit. Antonio Brown, you know, he is a smaller receiver, maybe harder to find, but I don't know. I mean, and I have the question, you know, I've asked it to you. I mean, we say this all the time. Like, how does Antonio Brown still get ass open? I mean, this guy is not just – he's not just beating people in coverage. There's times when he is catching the ball and there is literally no defenders around him. I do not get that. Like, he is Antonio Brown. He's the most productive wide receiver on the field. How do you not have someone on him every snap? Like, it just blows my mind. How does that happen?
I really honestly believe it's his route tree. I mean, this guy runs amazing route, and he sets you up for those times when he's going to be wide open. The whole game, he will keep slanting in. And then in the fourth quarter, he'll show you the slant, and then he just goes upfield. And you're like, oh, shit, here it goes. You know, like, he is so consistent. I mean, they had what's that cornerback's name? They had one of the cornerbacks on NFL. You know how they come on NFL Network on their bye week? And they said, who is the 2 hardest cover? He goes, Antonio Brown and the wide receiver number 84 from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's like, they asked him to give up 2, and he said Antonio Brown twice. Okay, so like Antonio Brown, if you have players saying you're just impossible to hold, that just tells you how this guy gets open. And they just say he puts in work, and he every day he just goes out and does the work and puts in the work, man. So Antonio Brown, I think it's his route tree and just his great routes that puts him in the situation where he can do the stuff he can do.
Well, it's hard to deny that. I mean, you know, obviously I think you own something. I mean, this guy's just like, you know, him and Gronk, you know, it still blows my mind that these guys get just so open. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So, all right. But anyway, so we'll see with Pittsburgh. I mean, it should be okay. And a really good point on Big Ben. He wanted to play this week. He was attempting to. I think it was just kind of a last-minute pull. But that's a good sign. He probably will be ready to go next week. He's just tough, man. He's just tough SOB. So we'll see. All right. So let's go into our Twitter talk.
Now, before we go into Twitter talk, I got to ask you about Dez Bryant. I know you saw what happened on Dez Bryant on Thursday. What do you think?
Well, interesting enough, Cowboys season, it's just been bad, man. I haven't had any expectations until Tony comes back. So I'll put it like this. I haven't watched them from a national perspective this year a lot. You know, I've actually avoided watching ESPN, NFL, Fox, because I already know what to expect. You know, like Stephen A. is entertainment. To me, Stephen A. is not an analyst. He is not a guy that's big on football. He's not an X's and O's. He's entertainment. He's controversy. Skip Bayless, entertainment controversy. I really don't give a shit what they say. I follow local beat writers in Dallas. You know, I watch the media that covers them locally. Because these guys see more, they get the big picture, and they can be fair. They're not someone that comes into town once a week, look at something, and then they blow up this big storm. Now, in reference to Dez, I know he had the rant. I didn't hear it. I just look at it like this. If I was on a team and I lost 6 straight games, tensions would be a bit high. I'd be a bit frustrated. I'd be irritated. And then to be asked the same questions or ridiculous questions over and over and over, I would probably blow up. Now, I know there's some people on one side that go, oh, you're a professional, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I agree with you. He's an employee, he's a professional, he's got to get it together. But my thing is, like, why are people shocked, okay? Dez Bryant is fucking outrageous. Their team is struggling. It's a bad season. And it's like, it's just drama, and people just want the drama. I really don't think people care about the problem. I just think they're enjoying watching Dallas lose. But you, what I think is the bad takeaway from this is that, you know, we're looking at this team, you know, we're hearing all this media and all this fuel fire. My thing is, if you really hate the Dallas Cowboys, the more you give them attention, the more that you click on these links, the more you listen to these ridiculous rants, the NFL is going to continue to shove Dallas in your face. They're going to continue to put them in primetime games. They're going to continue to put them in all the headlines. It's like people say they hate Dallas, but you don't. You love them. You crave to hear what's going on in Dallas. You don't give a shit about any other team than Dallas Cowboys. It is America's top reality show. And so, you know, to me, it's like, if you don't like them, change the channel. Like, I'm listening, but if you keep fueling it, if you keep creating memes and saying the Cowboys suck, you keep them relevant, you keep them popular, and they hit the Forbes list again next year for another, you know, $2 billion. So that's my take on it.
Well, my take on the whole situation, Brandon, is this. You know, me and Brandon, for the people that don't know, we worked at the same place for 3-4 years, okay? And Brandon will know I'm the first person to say fuck you when he says something stupid. I don't care who you are. So watching Dez Bryant do that, I love it, okay? Don't ask me dumbass questions. You know the fucking answer. I am pissed off. I've been losing. So, yes, he can go off. And you know what I like about Dez Bryant? He is consistent. What I don't like is if you're a douchebag and you act like a nice guy, or if you're a nice guy and you try to act like a douchebag. Dez Bryant knows his lane, and he stays on it, and he loves that lane, okay? He doesn't change up anything about it. He just does what he has to do. And you know what? Dez Bryant showed up to the game. I watched him walk in. Guess what he's wearing? He's murdered out, folks. He's wearing all black. There's nothing else on his body except a black beanie, black suit, black tie. You know what that means? I feel sorry for Tampa Bay because Dez Bryant's going to be X-ing up all over in Tampa Bay, just disrespecting them like nobody's business. And guess what? That same media guy is going to be like, oh, Dez is so great and everything like that. So Dez is going to do what Dez does. And you know what? I think him blowing up is good. I think him blowing up is good because you know what? This team was supposed to run away with this division. You know, and they have had some injuries that most teams can't sustain. So, yes, he has the right to be a little upset. His tight end's getting older. His quarterback's getting older. He knows that time that he has is very limited. That offensive line's getting older. So, yeah, he's upset. And I think he has all the right to be.
Yeah.
So,
I'm
with you.
Losing sucks. Losing sucks, right? I mean, it really does suck. And there's a – not only does losing suck, but it's one thing, you know, if you were getting blown out 30-7 or if you were just getting manhandled. But, no, you're losing games by, like, literally 3 points or less. You're losing games, you know, in overtime, in the fourth quarter. Like, you're right there. So it's just frustrating, you know. So for, you know, a reporter to come and ask, hey, do you guys feel like you need Tony Romo? or hey, how do you guys feel about this losing streak? Do you think it's snake bitten? Do you think that this is divine? Like, you know, just dumb questions like that. He's just looking at them like you want to slap the dog shit out of them. So, it's frustrating, man. Like, to me, I would be more concerned as a fan or as a person if they were just all, like, jolly, smiling, laughing. And you've been losing. You lost 6 games in a row. You know, we talk about players having passion and being leaders and, you know, caring about what they do. But then when they show all that emotion, then we're hypocrites. We get on them and we talk shit about them. So it's like, we got to make up our minds, man. Like, what do we want? Do we want these guys to give a shit? Or do we want them to just make millions and don't give a fuck? You know, so we can't have it both ways, right? They either care about what they do or they don't. You know, so we can't persecute them when they show emotion, but then we talk shit about them when they're, like, partying after losing a big game, you know. So you got to pick a side, man. Got to pick a side.
And Brandon, I think we have Aaron on the line with us. Aaron, you have any thoughts about Dez Bryant?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up?
Oh,
Hey, yeah. So I saw the I saw what went down in the locker room, and look, man, these reporters, these media guys, they've never played a sport. They probably can't even do one push-up. So it gets annoying for somebody that's so competitive. And here's the thing: Dez Bryant, maybe it's Dez Bryant. He's a hothead, and they'll come on him down on him a little bit more. If it were Tom Brady doing that, they wouldn't have said shit. They would have said the media reporter is in the wrong. But because it's Dez Bryant and he's a little volatile, they're gonna say, "Well, Dez Bryant needs to chill out." But at the end of the day, if these reporters had any competitive bone in their body, they would understand, and they might realize, oh, maybe I just struck a nerve because I asked a stupid-ass question. So I'm with Dez Bryant. Maybe he could have just said his piece and then walked away. But you know what? When you're hot, when you're pissed and you're losing, you're going to say things. You're going to be pissed. And Dez Bryant showed that. But I have nothing against Dez doing that, man. He's a beast. And when you're ultra competitive, you're gonna be like that. And I'd rather see somebody like that. That's being real. That's not being fake. So the reporters, you know how they can be. They can twist things around and make things out worse than they are. So it can get ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I mean, like I said, it's going to be some nastiness going on in Tampa Bay because Dez is wearing all black and it's going to be murder out time. So
well, the thing
Dez
is,
Bryant is going to go crazy.
I don't want him to go too crazy, you know, because I'm playing defense. You know what I mean? So yeah, Foley has him. Mike Foley has him. So I don't need him to go too crazy today. I know he wants to prove a point, but Dez, take a chill, like maybe like 6 or 7 catch for 75 yards. If you get a touchdown, okay. But if you start doing this 10, 12 catches for 170, 80 yards and 2 or 3 touchdowns, I'm not going to like that.
And, you know, you know those numbers you're throwing out, Aaron, like 10 or 12 catches for 170 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, for anybody else, that's like an obscene amount of points. Like, you're like, that's not going to happen. With Dez Bryant, that's just another Sunday. Like, seriously, like, you're like,
yeah, he can do that.
Like, he can literally do that. Like, and that's why he's one of the best wide receivers in the game right now. So I hope he goes crazy.
Thank you.
Oh, man. All right. So what do we have on Twitter talk today?
All right. So Twitter, we have a couple questions. He goes, guys, help me. Need a running back start. Charcandrick West or Gio Bernard, and which wide receiver would you start? Jordan Matthews, Ryan Matthews, or Emmanuel Sanders? One of each.
Okay,
one
so
running back.
Ryan Matthews is, I'm guessing that's a flex situation.
No, Rasheed Matthews. I'm sorry. Matthews, not
okay.
Ryan Matthews, yeah. Rasheed Matthews, Jordan Matthews, or Emmanuel Sanders at the wide receiver, and then for the running back, Charcandrick West or Gio Bernard.
I'm just, okay. You know, we talked about that Ray of Hope on Monday night with Gio Bernard. They're splitting carries. You know, Jeremy Hill hadn't been what he's supposed to be this year. I think, honestly, and I know you know you don't want to hear this, Taha, I think it's going to be a tough game for the Bengals. It's a tough matchup for both running backs. Charcandrick's going against Denver. It's a division game. Gio has been looking pretty good, but you just don't know the situation over there. For me, that's a toss-up. I'm not sure. I'm going to see what y'all think because I would start Charcandrick. That's who I would start, but I want to get y'all's take. And then on receivers, Emmanuel Sanders is super questionable, man. I have him. I think I'm going to end up plugging in somebody else for Emmanuel because he's a game-time decision. So for me, I'm going Jordan Matthews just because he's hot from last week. And, you know, maybe Philly got their act together with their offense. And they're going to continue to roll like that. I'm telling you, when Philly gets 80, 90 plays a game, there's going to be a lot of touches for everybody. So for me, I'm going to go Charcandrick and Jordan Matthews.
I'll take this number two. I'm with you 100% on a lot of points. It's going to be a tough game for the Bengals Monday night, okay? Everyone expects it to be a blowout. I don't. I think it's going to be a tough game. National TV, we struggle. I don't think Andy's going to really struggle. I think it'll be a good game. I just think the Texans are going to play up to that game. And this is like very easily, being a Bengals fan, this is seeming like that letdown game. But I'm not touching Gio. I like Gio, but then again, you don't know. If Jeremy Hill comes in and he rushes the first two balls for 5 yards apiece, Gio might not touch the field. I mean, they want to see Jeremy Hill succeed. So I'm going Charcandrick West. I know it's versus Denver, and it's a tough matchup, but Charcandrick can catch out of the backfield. And Emmanuel Sanders is super questionable, so I'm going Jordan Matthews. What did he have, 32 points in a PPR last week? So I'm going Matthews and West as well. What about you, Brandon?
I mean, with the running backs, Charcandrick West has scored over 40 fantasy points in the last 2 weeks. Gio Bernard has done that once, you know, all season. I mean, he hadn't broken 20 points, period. You know, so Charcandrick, you know, he's not sharing with anyone, and Gio is sharing with, not only is he sharing with Jeremy Hill, but he's sharing with A.J. Green, Tyler Eifert. Unfortunately for fantasy is that offense has been so explosive that there's just not enough football to go around. You know, so I think you got to go West. I really don't think it's that tough. I think Charcandrick is a clear cut guy, running back wise, and I own Gio. You know, so I think you go West running back. Now, how many wide receiver options was it? The wide receiver part I missed. How many wide receivers?
It was Jordan Matthews, Rashid Matthews, and Emmanuel Sanders.
Other wide receivers, you know, we talked about a little earlier, Emmanuel is pretty banged up. He's pretty banged up. We don't really know what's going on there. And then Matthews in Miami, really tough matchup for Tannehill today. Philadelphia, I think they lead the league in turnovers. They've been pretty opportunistic. They're coming off a huge win. So I don't like Matthews. I would go with Jordan Matthews, you know, kind of going with y'all say riding the hot hand. He looked good last week. His confidence got to be sky high. And then coming off the bye, they just look better. So I would go Jordan.
All right. Next question I got. Hold on. Let me pull this up. It says, okay, guys, give me the two best running backs to start. Charcandrick West, Darren McFadden, Gio, or Carlos Williams. Carlos Williams is done. So it's basically Charcandrick, Gio, and Darren McFadden. Which two do you go with? Brandon, you want to go?
Not really, but it's a tough one. I feel like on the show I'm Troy Aikman, because Troy Aikman, he purposely doesn't really favor the Cowboys because he doesn't want to be called a homer. So I'm very like aware when I pick a Cowboy player, because I just don't want to be called a homer. But I mean, Darren McFadden, man, he's been pretty good. I mean, he gets a lot of not only touches, but I mean, he gets catches. You know, he's got check down Charlie throwing to him. I mean, McFadden he's been pretty good. He's been pretty productive. And Tampa Bay ain't world beaters. I mean, Darren McFadden could have a really big day. So I think the upside is McFadden. The consistency is West. But I'm leaning towards Darren, those two.
What about you, Aaron?
Okay, you said you had to pick two of the three?
Yeah, two of the three. Charcandrick, Darren McFadden, or Gio.
So two of them you need started. So you're going to start Weston. You're going to start Charcandrick, Weston, Darren McFadden. Because we just talked about Weston Gio, and we were talking about how we start West over Gio. So, yeah, I mean, like Brandon mentioned, it's Charcandrick put up 20 points both weeks. as he's played. I know he's going against a tough matchup in Denver, but he's most likely going to do better than Gio. And Darren McFadden is the dude over there now. So for me, that's a simple one. I would just go Sharkhandrick and Darren McFadden.
Yeah, for me it's super simple. And if you've been living under a rock, McFadden's been scoring 15 points every game, and he hasn't really got a touchdown. So if he gets a touchdown, he's in the 20s, folks. So you keep putting this guy in all-purpose yards. He's been getting like 140 yards every game. So that's a no-brainer for me either. Next question is, need one running back out of Eddie Lacy, Chris Johnson, Antonio Andrews, and need one wide receiver, Emmanuel Sanders, Larry Fitt, or Brandon Cooks, one of each. Aaron, I'll let you start off. Eddie Lacy, Chris Johnson, or Antonio Andrews, and then we got the news that Eddie Lacy's not starting today. It's going to be James Starks. And then with the wide receivers is Sanders, Larry Fitt, Brandon Cooks.
Okay, so I'll start with – I'm looking up something real quick just so I know. I'm going to start with the receivers. I'm going to go ahead, as much as I like Emmanuel Sanders, he's just too questionable. For me, if he were probable, I would say start Emmanuel. Brandon Cooks has been doing better, and the Saints have been doing – they've been scoring. So I like that, but I like Larry Fitt, man. And Larry Fitt has been doing his thing all year. I have him. I'm starting him. I know they're going against Seattle, and it's tough, but they're using Larry Fitt in the slot, and that's the biggest thing for me with Larry Fitzgerald, and that's why he's been – able to be so successful this year, and he's kind of been kind of like turned back the clock, and you have a healthy Carson Palmer. I think it's going to be a tough game, but I just like Larry Fitt a little bit more than the other two. And then for running backs, I don't know much about Antonio Andrews. I've watched him a little bit. He is the lead back, so you always got to take that into account. Lacy's a no-go. You're going to just take him out completely because he's fat and he's not in shape and he's not starting. So you cannot risk that guy. And that's, you feel bad because he was a first round pick and now he's just not doing anything. I'm going to have to go, man. I know this is probably going to sound crazy, but Chris Johnson, they're going against Seattle, so, and I know he has, it's a Sunday night game, but I'm going to have to go with Andrews. I'm going to have to go with Antonio Andrews, man. Chris Johnson, he had that one breakout game 2 weeks ago, but then he had, he had 30 attempts for 109, 18 for 122. Those are good, but I'm going to go out on a limb. This could be a tough one, but I'm going to say Antonio Andrews and then Larry Fitt.
Brandon, who you got?
We're running backs. Host, like where your head's at, man. I'm going to go Andrews. I think they're going to protect the rookie, Marcus Mariota, and Carolina. They're in the top 10 worst defenses against the run. And, they've been winning, man. They've been winning by the skin of their – you know what, I mean, for the last 4 or 5 weeks, I mean, it's going to blow up in their face at some point. But I like Antonio. I would go Andrews running back-wise and Fitzgerald wide receiver. I think Fitz has a good game.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on Fitz. I don't care if Fitz going versus Seattle. This is not the same Seattle of the last 2 years, folks. It's not even remotely close, okay? So I'm going with Fitz, and he plays the slot position. So, hey, Richard Sherman, I know you play one side of the field, so you're going to be holding Michael Floyd all day. But if you want to be a true number one, go ahead and go hold Fitz, and he's going to put you to work. I mean, at the slot position, you have just so many more routes you can run. I mean, Aaron played wide receivers. You can do so much from the slot position. I mean, you got both sides of the field. You're not cutting yourself off. So I like Fitz in that position. And number two, I'm going to still go with CJ just because he's been hot. And I really do not believe this Seattle defense is that good. So I'm going to go with CJ2K on that position. Now, the last Twitter question I got is need two, Antonio Andrews, Andre Ellington, Baldwin, I'm guessing, Justin Hunter, and Kyle Rudolph. Out of those five, he needs two. I'll start
Justin?
This one. I will say, yeah, Justin Hunter. I'll say this is a whole bunch of crap. I hope you're in a 20-man league. I mean, this is just – we're just pulling out the shit pile right now. But I'm going to go with Antonio Andrews because he's the best. I'm not dogging your team. I'm just dogging your situation. I'm gonna go with Antonio Andrews and Ellington, and that's not even an option. Doug Baldwin was good 8 weeks ago. I'll go with Kyle Rudolph. How about that? Antonio Andrews and Rudolph is the best I could come up with this stuff. So that's the two I got. Whoever wants to jump in next.
Well, I mean, I think you got to go Andrews and Rudolph because I think those are the only active players. I mean, is Justin Hunter even, like, active? I mean, does he?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't – Doug Baldwin, I mean, Andre Ellington doesn't even start anymore. So, like, this would have been a hard question, like, 2 years ago. How about that? I mean, but as of 2015, I just say Rudolph and Andrews because, one, Andrews actually plays. Rudolph, I think, is still on the roster. But Justin Hunter, I mean, I don't even know if he plays this year. Like, has he done?
Yeah.
Has he kind of passed? I mean, so.
Yeah, so so here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't mean to cut you off, Brandon, because I have Hunter. He is playing. He has been doing stuff this whole season. It's just been quiet as a church mouse. So he's getting, like, 3 or 4 targets a game. So it's not a lot. And that's pretty much the same situation with Doug Baldwin. So, for sure, you're going to start Andrews. And then after that, I'm looking at one other thing, what Kyle has done this week, just so we can make sure we're giving
not
him some
much.
Good options.
It's not much.
He hasn't done much?
Rudolph, he catches a touchdown. I mean, I think he gets like 2 catches a game. One of them, if it's a touchdown, then he finishes with 12. Other than that, he finishes with 2. I mean, it's
yeah.
I mean, what we're rocking with right now is, I mean, this is tough. This is like when you are late on rent and you got bologna and you eat sugar and you try to make something together. I mean, this is a tough question.
Let's just break it down. So Andrews is for sure. Ellington, he's not because it's Chris Johnson. Baldwin,
yeah.
No. Hunter's going against Carolina, and if Josh Norman's out there, it's going to be a long day for anyone.
Exactly.
So then you just process of elimination. Then you hope for the best out of Rudolph because he has a couple touchdowns this season. So you hope he gets you because he's only getting targeted about 3 times a game for like 20 yards. So you hope it's the day where he gets a touchdown and you get 10 points out of him. And you just got to hope for the best. So, yeah, I would go Andrews and Rudolph.
Yeah, so I guess we all go Andrews and Rudolph regretfully. Here's advice. Go pick up Wes Welker. I'm pretty sure he's available. He's starting this week. So
you know what?
For
right that's a good point. He should go to free agency. How about you go to free agency, pick up Wes Welker. I mean, there's anyone out there better than those options. That's dog shit. I mean, I'm sorry. It's 3 catches. You can't beat nobody with 3 catches a day. They catch it. It ain't happening. I just did not. So, yeah, go to free agency. Go pick up Wes Welker.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Wes Welker's not picked up in his league. I mean,
I'll go pick up the other white guy, Cole Beasley.
Yeah, Cole Beasley. I mean, shit, go pick up Mohamed Sanu. He might throw in a touchdown and give you more points than those guys. I mean, seriously, we can name number 3s for a lot of teams that are available because this is – like we say, we go Antonio Andrews and Rudolph regretfully. I mean, I don't know what else to say. But that's all I got for Twitter. I knew the last one would make you guys laugh and really think about it. So that's the why I brought that one up. I just because I think, you know, Thanksgiving is coming, okay? And I feel like we need to be thankful for our teams. And giving you that option will make you more thankful for your team that you put together this year. So you have something to get thankful for this year, because that is some dog shit. I mean, that's bad, but go ahead. Whatever. What's next, Brandon?
Well done, my friend. Well done. So before we go into our last segment, basically we have our Fab Five. Before we go into our Fab Five, all year we've talked about our partnership with DraftKings. A lot of different things going on with DFS. A lot of news and a lot of just kind of uproars. And I think the latest I heard is that DraftKings and FanDuel are threatening to sue the state of New York. They want to ban DFS, saying it's not a game of skill, it's a game of chance. So therefore, they patch it as gambling. So we'll see how that happens, but there's still tons of other states where you can play DFS. So fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. It's America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Now, daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You can play whenever you want. You just have to pick your sport and then draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. So over $1 billion will be won at DraftKings.com this year, and you can be the next to win big. So go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code to the point to play for free. That's to the point for free entry now at DraftKings.com. So definitely go set up your lineups. You can visit our website for suggestions at tothepoint.weebly.com. That is W-E-E-B-L-Y.com. All right, Fab Five. What's the rankings, man? I'm a little nervous to hear these. We'll bring them out.
So last week I went 4-1. This is kind of becoming, you guys know this. So I'm 20. I'm sorry. I'm 26. I'm 26 and 9 for the year. Coming in second place is Aaron. Aaron went 2-3, and he's 19-16. And then Brandon went 2-3 last week, and he's still below the Mendoza line at 16-19. So we need a 4-0 week, 5-0 week for Brandon. So we'll go with the games. First game, and Brandon, the first one I'm going to let you choose, and then me and Aaron will go with whoever you choose not to go with. So Chicago at St. Louis. Who you got, Brandon?
All right, there ain't at St. Louis. I'm going to go Rams. I'm going to St. Louis.
Oh, shit. That Aaron, means I gotta got to go Chicago.
You go Chicago?
No, I'm not. I'm going St. Louis.
I believe in Jay Cutler, just like I did last week. I'm going Chicago. I just think they're a different team with that. Next game, Dallas versus Tampa Bay. Aaron, I'll let you start off first.
Dallas has got to get off this losing snide, so I'm going to go Dallas.
Yeah, it's going to be like a Murder, She Wrote book. With Des Bryant at that secondary, I'm going Dallas as well. Brandon, who you got? Shock us with Tampa,
Cowboy.
Please.
Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Going Cowboys.
All right.
Cowboys.
3 o'clock game, Minnesota versus Oakland. I'll start off first. This is tough. Minnesota's pretty good, but I'm going Oakland. Brandon.
They're in Minnesota or Oakland?
They're in
Oakland.
Minnesota. I'm going Minnesota.
Aaron?
You know what? I would have normally said Oakland, but the weather's shitty over there, and Adrian Peterson's a better running back than Latavius Murray. So I'm going to say Minnesota.
All right. Sunday night game, Arizona versus Seattle. Brandon, who you got?
Arizona.
Brandon, Aaron.
Arizona.
Oh, I hate Seattle with a passion, but they're playing in Seattle, so I'm going Seattle. Houston versus Cincinnati.
Houston.
Aaron, year-to-date State has not picked Cincinnati. I'm going to go Cincy. We don't lose at home much. So, Brandon, who you got?
Monday night game. Shit. Neither one of them really serious in prime time. I'll go with the home team, Cincinnati. I'll go with Cincinnati.
So that's our Fab Five. I will update everybody unless I have unless I don't show up pretty much for the last end of the season and not pick any players. I think I got this in the bag. So we go with our next segment. What is it, Brandon?
All right, so we're gonna go with our bowl predictions. It's NFL Week 10. All right, so we got some good matchups. I got some interesting matchups. We want to go out with some bold predictions. So, what do we like today? I don't think we were anywhere in the neighborhood last week. So, I'm starting off with Taha. What's your bold prediction for NFL Week 10?
Yeah, my bold prediction for NFL Week 6 is a player that has been forgotten about. He was good the first 2 weeks, and he's just been doing nothing since. I expect Randall Cobb this week to have 10 catches for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's my bold prediction for Randall Cobb.
Are you saying that because you did say week 6? Did he have that on week 6?
Did he have that? Oh, I don't know.
Cuz you go, this is my bold prediction for week 6. I was like, maybe Randall Cobb had that in week 6.
Oh, on week 6. I don't know why I said week 6, but yeah, week 10.
I don't know.
You guys know what I meant. Week 6, they were probably on a bye. I can find that. Go ahead with y'all's bold prediction.
I want a combo bold prediction because one of my bold predictions is leading into my special delivery, okay? So I'm not going to say the special delivery yet unless you want me to, but I got, first of all, real quick, I got Larry Fitt for 2 touchdowns and 100-plus yards receiving, okay, against Seattle. But my bold prediction – followed up with my special delivery is I'm sending Andy Dalton a gift card to Massage Heights because he lives in Houston. He makes his home out of Katy, so we got some Massage Heights here for him. He's going to need it because J.J. Watt is going to sack him 4 times on Monday night. Oof. So I hope you have fun with your massage, Andy Dalton, but you're going down.
Wow. I knew it had to do with something with the Bengals. So we knew that was coming.
I mean, 4 sacks? That's big time. 4 sacks. 4 sacks. That ain't no joke. I'm going to go with 2 bold predictions. I have my first one, CJ Anderson rushes for 130 and 2 touchdowns. Today.
Ooh, that is bold. That is bold, folks. This is my lukewarm predictions.
For the Denver Broncos, 2 tubs, 130 rushing yards, and Peyton Manning has statistically has his worst passing game of the year today versus Kansas City.
Ooh. Versus nobody that defense?
Yeah.
Bold prediction.
That's bold for you. Mooch doesn't want to be called Mooch anymore. He's coming with the real, folks.
You know, Mooch has he has 2 big ones once or twice a year. You know, he comes out. I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm not used to that. I figured he was going to go, okay, I got Tom Brady for 250 passing yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
No, hey, what was funny, Eric goes, oh, Phillip Rivers throws 2 touchdowns, fantastic. Take one of them. What you got,
No, I was going to tell you that Randall Cobb, week 6, had 2 catches for 38 yards.
Oh, okay.
That was it, coach. That was his line. There was nothing else. There was no pun in that. There was no joke coming after that. No, that was it. You a big shit of nothing. So he's been pretty terrible. So I expect him to go off this week.
Oh man, that's funny. That's too funny. All right. So Aaron threw his out there. So we'll end it off with our special delivery. So this will be a So what's our special delivery for NFL Week 10? What you got?
Special delivery, I just want to send an offensive line to Pittsburgh so they can protect my guy, Ben Roethlisberger. Please, for the love of God, don't let him get hurt anymore when he does come back, because this guy was probably going to win MVP this year, and it just didn't happen. So that's what I'm sending, offensive line to Pittsburgh, and don't let your players get hurt.
All right, so I have sending Pittsburgh offensive line. All right, well, I'm staying in the South. I'm going to Tampa Bay, and man, I mean, this is it, man. This is the last hurrah. I mean, Dallas has got to get a win without Tony to at least feel like they're a football team. All right, so I'm sending Hail Mary. I'm sending, Revenge. I'm sending whatever religious thing I can think of for Dallas to just get a win. Just one win. That's all I ask for. Okay? Just one win. It is Tampa Bay. Please, Lord, sweet baby Jesus, teach Tampa Bay. That's all I ask. Okay? That's all I ask for. So that is my special delivery. That is our show, To the Point Fantasy Football. Thank you guys for tuning in. And enjoy your NFL Week 10.